Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've seen repeatedly stated in the first 5 chapters that the church was growing, that the people who knew Jesus were so transformed by their relationship with him that it attracted attention, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, hearts were changed and more people were added to their number. This kind of growth creates problems. Problems inevitably follow when churches grow. I remember being very excited as a child and later as a teen to find that I was growing. I was getting taller. I was getting bigger and stronger and faster. But some of my favorite clothes no longer fit. When growth occurs, changes have to be made. And this is what happened in the early church, in the book of Acts. The Christians were extremely generous, and those who had an abundance of resources gave them generously so that those who had been in need were no longer in need. But some folks were being overlooked. And the reason is they were the newbies. They were the ones who'd recently come in. And they were from the Hellenistic community. That is, a group of Jews who had been impacted by Greek culture in such a way that they kind of had their own names and their own way of doing things. They were still Jews, but they were Hellenistic Jews. They were Jews who lived like Greeks in many ways. In the body of Christ, there is no Jew or Greek or slave or free. We are one body. We have been transformed by God's grace and made part of his family. But naturally, we tend to gravitate toward folks who are kind of like us. That's just human nature, and we see it here. The Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked. They weren't being persecuted. It wasn't deliberate discrimination. It was simply the fact that these people knew each other, and so they knew if this one was in need, this one's a widow, etc., and they took care of them. These folks over here are like, she's a widow too. Is anybody going to serve her? What about her needs? When that problem occurred, and again, I want you to remember, it was a problem that resulted from growth. When that problem occurred, the leadership said, we are sick of complaints. We do not want to hear about it. Shut up and be glad for what you've got. Is that what they did? Not at all. Look, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. In other words, with the growth, we've got to zero in on what our primary responsibility is. And we're going to have to let other people take care of the distribution of benevolence. This is the origin of the office of deacon within the body of Christ. This is how it happened. It was a response to a need that came as a result of growth. And the response was, we're going to specialize. The apostles are going to focus on preaching and on prayer. And the deacons are going to be responsible for the benevolence ministry. And so then they gave, there's more information in Paul's letter to Timothy, but they gave here a very brief list of qualifications for a deacon. And I want you to see, because sometimes one of these is overlooked. That's been my experience. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. At this point, there were thousands of people who were a part of the fellowship in one way or another. But they only chose 7. They didn't say we need 700. Because properly administered, things should work. Choose 7. 7 men. It does say that. 7 men from among you who are of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now, who within the body of Christ is capable of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that just for certain elite members of the body of Christ? Or are all of us commanded in Scripture to be being filled with the Holy Spirit? We're all commanded. So being filled with the Spirit will manifest itself in wisdom. Doesn't say high intellect. It says wisdom. I know some people who have very high intellect, extensive education, and are exceedingly foolish. And I know some other people who are not as academically inclined and not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes to certain intellectual capacities. But they manifest wisdom in their lives. They have walked with God and trusted in Him, and as a result, when the rubber meets the road, those folks have a godly perspective. Wisdom involves seeing things from God's viewpoint, agreeing with God about the nature of truth. And so they're looking for men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, men who therefore are filled with wisdom. But there's one other qualification in there for these men, and you could even say that the men part is another qualification. That would make four. And that is, they must have a good reputation. In some translations it says, known to be filled with the Spirit and with wisdom. There are sometimes people within the body of Christ who have wisdom and they have the fullness of the Spirit, but they are not yet known to the people. And it would be a mistake to just appoint one of them to be a deacon, because trust me, he's wise, okay? Well, no, these were supposed to be people in whom the people had confidence. And so I want you to see what happened. They chose seven. But the seven that they chose, Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. How many of those were Hellenistic Jews? Remember, it was the Hellenistic Jews who had a complaint. So, Pastor, well, I have no idea. I mean, how should I know that? Well, you shouldn't. I'm about to tell you. Every one of these names is a Hellenistic name. Okay? They didn't say, well, we're the original members here. We've been following Jesus longer than you have. So I think it's only fair that four of the seven should be of the original group. And we'll give three positions to the Hellenistic Jews. They didn't do that. They turned the whole thing over to the complainers. Isn't that amazing? I'd say that's a bad idea. You know, come on. We've got to be sure and keep this thing balanced. They're saying, I lay my life down. I give it up. You want to be in charge? Have at it. More than once as a pastor over the years, I've had people come to me with a problem. And I have put them in charge of coming up with a solution. And they generally have not appreciated that. Because it is much easier to criticize than it is to administrate. It is much easier to critique and say, you know, I don't think that's done very well. I think that could be done better. Okay? These folks came and they said, we've got a problem. Excuse me, we have a problem. Our widows are being overlooked. So the apostles said, we're going to let you handle this. Years ago, I was asked to be on the long-range planning committee for one of the colleges that I had attended. And when I was in college, I was active in student government, something of a leader on campus and so forth. And so I was used to being called on by college administrations and so forth to sort of appear on behalf of the college, you know. We need somebody to sort of be the fresh young face of our student body, and let's bring in Jim and so and so and so and so. They can kind of represent the college, you know. This is what we're turning out, folks. Isn't it good? Don't you want to invest? Young people like Jim Wood. Okay? Well, I found that very gratifying. They like me. They think well of me, etc. So when I was working at that college and they asked me to be on the long-range planning committee, I thought I was like the youth representative. I'm okay with that. Kind of, you know, it's tokenism to be sure, but nevertheless, I felt good about it. And because it was my role. And so I'm sitting there in the long-range planning committee with the president of the school and with two distinguished professors who I had had when I was a student there, And then there's me. And that was the long-range planning committee. Not a large group. But it appeared that demographics were posing a significant challenge to the future of private education all across America, and many colleges were in serious trouble, and those who were looking into the future were realizing that many would not survive. And so what do we do? How do we adapt? What do we need to do in order to carry the program of this wonderful Christian school into future generations? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, you guys have really got a challenge. And the president, having laid out all these challenges, then said to this guy, so what do you think? And he said, well, you know, this is very challenging indeed. And I think, da-da-da-da-da. And I thought, maybe. And the president looked at me and he said, Jim, what do you think we should do? And in that moment, my whole world started to spin. Because it occurred to me, you're not here as a youth delegate. You're not a youth anymore. You're a married man. You work for this school. They put you on the long-range planning committee, and they want you to come up with some wise answers. And I wanted to say, I have no idea, but if you're looking to me for answers, I'd say this school is dead. You know, but I couldn't say that, see, because that would have been very disappointing. So I quickly prayed and tried to say some tentative things, and I really did feel inside, oh no, I'm an adult. When I went to my first church, which was sometime after that, the telephone rang and I answered and said, Wood Residence, which I'd been saying ever since I was a little kid when I answered the phone. The person on the other end said, I'm trying to reach Pastor Wood. And my immediate thought, thank God I didn't say it, but my immediate thought was, I'm sorry, he's not here, this is his son. But I was the Pastor Wood they were looking for. Oh no. I can't say, Dad, there was a call for you, somebody's got a problem. I'm now the guy. I want you to understand, not just in a sort of informational sense, what happened here, that the people who said, we've got a problem, were put in charge of doing it better. I want you to understand, in your life, be charitable toward those who are in charge, because many times they're doing the best they know how. Doesn't mean that we always get it right. We don't. But sometimes it's because we're trying to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And some things can fall between the cracks. And as you say, I think this needs to be done better, you won't always be put in charge. But if you are, you better be ready to put up. You better be ready to say, okay, we're going to do this thing right. And the primary qualification for doing this job, overseeing the distribution of the resources to those who were in need, the primary qualifications had to do with being known as being filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. That's better than an MBA. My oldest brother, who has been enormously successful in the things the world counts as success, used to say of our mom, Mom could have run the World Bank. Mom's academic training was primarily in nursing. But Mother was filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. And she was known for it. She was a very sharp lady. Whenever the electricity would go out in the college business office, all the accountants would come to her and ask her to do the math. because they couldn't do it without a machine. And back then, we didn't have batteries. They hadn't been invented. No, batteries had been invented. But back then, the calculators and everything, we didn't have computers. You just wouldn't believe how primitive it was in my youth. But literally, if the power went off, these folks were completely disabled. They had accounting degrees, and this one's a CPA, and so forth. But if they had to do a column of numbers just in their head, they were lost. But they all came, I mean, literally, like children coming to my mother's office. They said, Mrs. Wood, could you please do these columns for me? And mother would sit there with a pencil and just go down the line like this. And she'd write her answer, and then she'd start at the bottom, and she'd go up to the top. And she got the same answer, so that's it. Sometimes the people that don't have the great education still manage to display intelligence and, more importantly, wisdom. As you go forth from this place, and you will be headed out into the world before you know it, as you go forth from this place, please know that sometimes the folks with all the education, all the degrees, are not the wise ones. And you want to be looking above all for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom qualified these men to oversee making sure that these folks have enough to eat. That was the task. In the distribution, the daily distribution of food. I don't know what you think about what would be a great responsibility someday. Food service apparently is a very important thing. Making sure that people are well fed is a very important thing. And it was so important that these widows be taken care of that they established a position within the church, deacon. And the name deacon means servant. They got elevated to the position of servant. So I don't know that I would want to be a servant. I was thinking I might prefer to be a minister. Do you know what the word minister means? Servant. Really? Yeah. That's what it comes down to. If you're going to follow Jesus, you better be ready to serve. And when the body of Christ says, would you please do this? Would you take on this responsibility? Consider it a privilege, because you're following in the footsteps of the one who took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Now we're going to see in what follows not only more church growth, but the fact that some of these deacons did more than just distribute food. And the first one we'll look at is a fellow by the name of Stephen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.